You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. Oh, I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad we're all here together. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are so pleased to have some happy news to share with all of you. I have a brand new single called God on the Mountain, recorded live at my home church in Cherokee, North Carolina, in the Great Smoky Mountains, and it is now nominated for the Rampage Music Awards. Isn't that wonderful for Best Christian Solo Performance and Best Christian Song? So we are so excited about that. You can see our YouTube music video and see all the beauty of the mountains. You can also hear it on iHeart, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Google Music, Amazon Music, Deezer, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, just about anywhere. So God on the Mountain, live by Dawn Karima.
Things change and you're down in the valley.
are rejoicing and thanking God for that. And we're really praising and thanking God for our guest today, a treasure, truly, truly. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
I'm Reverend Cornell Graham, pastor of Christ United Methodist Church in Columbus, Ohio.
Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm pleased to be your guest.
We are honored to have you here with us. Well, my goodness, you have so much to share with us. And so I'll just start by simply asking you, what does it mean to you when you say you're a pastor?
Well, pastor means that I am trying to shepherd God's flock. I believe they are God's people, like the sheep belong to the Lord, and God has made us steward or a watch person over those that he's given us charge of. They don't belong to us, but every soul is precious in the eyesight of the Lord, and he appoints us or assigns us after calling us to care for his flock. And so I'm caring for the Lord's flock currently in Columbus, Ohio, and for 36 years, God has given me oversight over 5 different congregations in 4 different states. But each time, God gives me an opportunity through the United Methodist Church to serve. I have a responsibility of watching for helping to guide them as God guides me and His Holy Spirit guides us all into God's presence.
That's magnificent. When did you first know that you wanted to be a pastor?
Well, my first indication, I won't say I knew, but my mother, Ludi, my great-grandmother, told me at age 7 that I had a mark on me. And she said, L, they called me by my nickname, it's Cornell, but she said, L, son, you got a mark on you. You're going to be a pastor one day. A preacher, she said, a preacher. And I'm like, okay. Now, I went home and looked in the mirror until my mom came home trying to find the mark. And my mom said, why are you staring in the mirror for hours upon end? I said, Mom, Mother Ludi said I got a mark. I want to find it. I want to take it off because I'm not interested in the job. But I was 7 at the time.
Yes.
But God confirmed the call in my life. After I gave him my life as a teenager at age 13, God confirmed the call for me at age 15. At 15, I said yes to the Holy Spirit. That I would be obedient and pursue ordained ministry. So I was memorizing some scripture. You know, I gave my life to Christ as a teenager in a revival in South Carolina. I grew up in South Carolina, rural South Carolina. Preacher preached one night, and my dad was a preacher, but this was a revival. AME preacher preaching, Reverend William Wright. His words convicted my heart. I said yes to Jesus. I opened my heart to him. I felt God come in and renewed my soul, even at 13. I began learning even more intensely, Bible study, Bible verses. And I was elected student body president for my high school. And one of the duties was at the beginning of the school year is to give a vision for the student body for the year. And as I was trying to prepare for that, I kept having that inkling to talk about my Savior, salvation, to share about my faith. But I'm a teenager. I'm in high school, and I'm going to talk about being in love with Christ and Him loving me, and I'm still feeling that peer pressure. And so I was a little hesitant, and one of the scriptures my cousin had given me to remember was Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. And that scripture convicted my heart. And I said, God, I never want to be ashamed to own you, to claim you, and to publish your name. And when I said that in prayer before God, I felt God convict my heart, and I felt and I heard in my spirit, I heard the voice of God talking to my soul, saying, if you're not ashamed, be my witness. That is my call text. That's my call story. And so that I knew God, what God had for me, and through dreams, through a lot of things, but that was that moment in which I really embraced it. And I began to pursue ministry at age 15. Preached my first sermon at age 15.
Wow.
And finished high school at 16 and went to college. I'm a United Methodist, so we have a certain training regimen to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. College mm-hmm. degree, seminary training. But I want to tell the listeners on this podcast, I absolutely knew I heard God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
God confirmed it in my spirit. When I was trying to withhold it after I came out of that quiet place of prayer, I went into my mom. My mom looked at me and said, "Son, what's going on?" I was trying not to confess it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I opened my mouth to confess it, I said, "Mom, the Lord's calling me to ministry." She began to rejoice and praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of the Holy Spirit just overshadowed me in that night in that house. And I began to speak. I mean, even the Lord, I'm not a person that, you know, I believe in the gifts of tongues. A few times in my life, the Holy Spirit has caught a hold of me, and I've spoken in tongues. That doesn't happen often, but it has happened. But in that night, I actually, mm-hmm. was speaking in tongues for a moment as I began to confess that I've been called to preach. So I feel mm-hmm. that was my baptism in the Holy Spirit and confirmation of God's call on my life to share the gospel.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I am so grateful you were willing to share that with us. I think about Jeremiah, right? Before you were in the womb, I knew you
yeah.
and ordained you a prophet to the nations. And truly, God had his hand on you. And there's so much about what you're saying that is fascinating, but I want to make sure that we find out from you, what has this journey been like? I mean, to start with such a remarkable signs and wonders and tokens for good, what's the past been like?
Well, you know, again, we had to go through the formal training of mm-hmm. college and seminary. I went to Claflin College, Orangeburg, South Carolina. And, you know, I'm a young person aspiring to preach, and you know, Claflin is a church related one of our HBCUs, historically black colleges. Found in 1869 by former slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just has a storied history. But religion and philosophy department, great professors, people, some, you know, you begin to get that academic learning. But you also, Claflin, I feel like, had some spiritual men and women who taught religion and philosophy classes, along with, I got a, you know, Bachelor of Arts, liberal arts education. So, I started the path, and from there, I went to Duke University and got a master's in divinity. So that was my formal preparation, but all the time through the church, I am preaching youth revivals, I'm substitute preaching, I'm going through the process. And so I finished seminary at age 23, and I get my first assignment as a pastor.
Wow.
Having been examined by the United Methodist Church,
mm-hmm.
been ordained, we go through a two-stage ordination process where
oh,
we mm-hmm. ordain a deacon, which is a probationary member, when we finish our training.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to be assigned to church. Then we got to have what we call supervisory years, 2 years where we're on the kind of a supervisory relationship where we're meeting with veteran pastors and going through a series of things over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm serving a local church. So I served four churches. Actually, United Methodist Church, because they want us to be full-time as pastors.
Mm-hmm.
I was assigned to what was the York, South Carolina, York St. James charge. It had four small churches. And I am about 400 members spread. I mean, the smallest church had 50 members on a dirt road.
Oh, my.
And I would preach two or three times every Sunday. Circling, you know, like a circuit rider, like Methodism started out on horseback with the Wesleys and others on horseback. So we got a lot of small churches, and Methodism is really prolific in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we got a number of churches, all kinds. So I had those four churches for 2 years. And then mm-hmm. I became an elder, which is a full member, which is, like I said, it's almost they have changed the different phrases. When in the days I was coming through, it was called probationary members. My dad was a pastor. It was called being on trial, like we're trying you out. And
right.
then after 2 years, we make you an elder, which says you now have proven to be fruitful serving as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
being under supervision. And so then I became an elder, which is full member. And, you know, from Ohio, I got called. I moved into urban ministry in Akron, Ohio, and I served in urban ministry post. So along the way, I can talk about all of them, but you're growing, you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
You thank God for the formal education, but really when it gets into shepherding, it gets into serving every congregation, you gotta get to know the people.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived by a philosophy of being a pastor that I said I try to live by the three L's.
Mm.
It's love, learn, lead. And I feel like when I go to they're God's people, so I already love them. But I gotta show them I love them as I love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta learn them because each congregation is unique and each one needs different things to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And the old adage I believe is true. Someone told me years ago, people, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, as a pastor, people got to feel your heart, that you love
mm-hmm.
Jesus and you love them. You care about them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not concerned about, your qualification, your degree, and that. They want to know that you love the Lord and you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And so loving, showing that love relationship, learning them, then you can lead them. So along
mm-hmm.
the way, each parish mm-hmm. has had its own challenge. You know, you're not going to, I said, my ultimate aim is to please God, to please the Lord. It's not, you're not going to satisfy everybody. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to listen
mm-hmm.
to everything you say. But, you know, and the other thing is, I've always, in every place, my path to ministry started through prayer and being a person of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. Because that is who I am, every place I've gone, I have endeavored to get me a committed circle of lay people who will pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I know is that my mother, who's now gone to heaven, my mother has every day, I know, as long as my mother was alive until 3 years ago now, I always knew I had every day someone covering me in prayer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so prayer and a prayer circle has been a hallmark of ministry for me. It's what's kept me and sustained me, my devotional life, my prayer life, my reading of the word, my love of the word. And I've always looked to somebody else. I always say every Paul needs a Timothy and every Timothy needs a Paul. I've always had some Pauls in my life when I've been Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm getting closer to being a Paul these days, and I got some Timothy. But I've always had pastors that have mentored me that I looked up to, and an accountability group of other spiritual leaders that help to keep me grounded and accountable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's magnificent. Thank you so much for your authenticity and for your transparency and your accountability. I'm so grateful that you're here on so many levels, because I feel like the whole world needs some pastoral care right now. What is different about pastoring people during a pandemic, during the politics, during sort of the perilous times that we live in today?
I was just saying in Bible study earlier today, I teach Bible study on Wednesdays at 11, and, all of us have had to innovate in terms of how we deliver the Word of God. Interestingly, this day that I was teaching from the 2 Timothy 4 text, where Paul says to Timothy, be instant in season, out of season,
mm-hmm.
or preach the Word when it's favorable or unfavorable. And I was saying, this pandemic has given me a new understanding of that text or a new way of applying it. I said, you know, 3 years ago, when I had to, when churches had to close and couldn't meet in person and had to go online, I said, when I had a Sundays where I could, we never missed a Sunday of worship.
That's right.
We had a limit of one time we could have 5 or 10 people in church. So I'm thankful that I'd already had a Facebook. I already knew how to do online. I've been blessed to be at a church prior to being where I am now. I had to imagine and visualize all the people that might hear that word. And I still had to preach, as Paul says, it's profitable for reproof, for correction, and instruction. I had to look in there, I had to look at their phone and preach the gospel. But to my amazement, so 40, 50 people listen. But if I could tell you the number of people that in these 3 years that have heard the gospel, heard me now preach the gospel, even though I didn't have the 150 or the 200 in sitting there in front of me, when I preach, I might have had 30 or 40.
Right.
But how many have heard since then because it was online? And I praise God that my mother and my father, in the last years of their life, when they loved Jesus, never missed a Sunday from church. But when their health became where they couldn't go to church because of the pandemic and because of being online, my mother, from her bed in South Carolina,
my goodness,
never missed a sermon that I preached in her last year of life. Because every Sunday morning, she could sit there on her cell phone and hear me preach.
Yes.
And so, you know, we had to innovate. And so in this in this season now, you know, when you start talking pastoral care, that's a whole nother, you know, there are people in my congregation. I mean, we all have stories. I'll tell you one. My minister of music lost 3 members of her family in less than 30 days.
My
Their mother, Lord father, goodness. And sister died of COVID.
Oh, Lord.
In 30 days. And this same woman today, who I pray for, you know, you've been to my worship, so you've seen her direct or play. You hear me call her name every week. She's out there. She's one of the ones that's right now. And after that, less than 4 months after losing 3 family members, she's diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, my.
She's undergoing chemo. She just had surgery 2 weeks ago. But this woman, who's buried 3 family members, now fighting cancer, every Sunday is faithfully at worship, sitting with her husband in her car. Now we got to go online. She's immune compromised. She's going through treatment. You know, it's probably not safe for her to be in the sanctuary.
Right.
She could sit at home. But because we have live stream and because we have, I use a transmitter that people can hear through their car radio.
Yes.
She's able to come and sit in the car in the parking lot and hear the word preach. But she can see the community around her and be encouraged as she goes through the struggle right now. So, you know, some of the stuff, the challenge, so, you know, but yeah, the number of funerals I've done. My mom died during COVID, not because of COVID. She was she was well loved. You know, we had to have her. We did have a funeral at the funeral home. We could have 50 people in it. It was online. I went home as a pastor on the day that I heard that my mother died. But the hardest thing was to walk in the house, and we were in the height of it then. It was April of 2020.
And
walking in my home in South Carolina after driving for 8 hours, you know, I couldn't put my arms around my sisters and my nieces and nephews. Everybody had on masks, and we grieved. So I personally have gone through it, and I've walked families through graveside services, no services, delayed services. There are still people that haven't been able to really process their grief. And so we're still doing, I mean, we'll be for years to come doing the care and the counseling for a person. But I want to say unequivocally, in the midst of all of this,
yes,
we still serve a God who's faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have to hold up that image of a God that's faithful in the midst of the what we're going through.
Wow, absolutely. And that's so powerful. I am so grateful. I hope that someone has said thank you for what you are doing. But in case they haven't today, I want to thank you for your example and your leadership. We have friends who listen, all 50 states, 160 countries. And I know that we have people going through things. So help us with that a little bit. You know, we have people going through all kinds of tragedies, all kinds of separations, all kinds of just things, just change in life. How do they manage that?
You know, I think the scriptures, I think really the Word of God and really believing it, but believing and having those scriptures, going to those scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and having those scriptures come alive for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, that's one of those well-known, everybody can quote that.
Yes.
You know? So we're in the valley of the shadows. We've been in the shadows. We've been in that valley.
Mm-hmm.
The death has been all around us.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really sometimes pray and say, okay, God, I need that comfort. I need
yes.
you to be with me. I need that assurance. I mean, sometimes you got to call out unto the Lord, you know, and sometimes we increase our faith often when we repeat the Word of God. You know, faith come by, you got to hear it. You got to say it. You got to declare it. And sometimes you got to declare it over your life. You got to mm-hmm. declare it in your situation.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see. You got to, well, I'm being attacked, enemies coming, it seems like stuff is coming every side, and I got to say, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, God, mm-hmm. you promised, you said in your word you would do that. I mean, you know, and you got to, you know, you have to say, you have to, by knowing God's word, saying it, believing it, internalizing it, praying it, and sometimes we do feel like, God, where are you in the midst of this?
Yes.
And we have to remember the God's answer to a Job cry out, Lord, you know, Job had a perfect argument, he thought. He really wanted an audience with God.
Yes.
He wanted to get God in a court. He said, if I can get God in a courtroom, if I could just plead my case before the Lord, if
mm-hmm.
I could just say, you know, I've lived upright, I've been holy, and one bad message after another, my cattle, my children, my property, my land.
Yeah,
you know, one bad messenger after another, and Job kept saying, "Naked I came, naked I shall return. Though he may slay me, yet will I trust him." But Job still wanted answers, and when Job got that opportunity to feel like he was in the presence of God and put his case out there, God turned it around on him and said, "Okay, Job, where were you?
Mm.
Where were you when I flung the earth, put the earth and the stars in the sky, put stuff so." Sometimes it's in God, the answer, the rhetorical or no answer to God says, you know what? So much of how I'm present and with you may be beyond your human understanding and comprehension. And
mm-hmm.
only through the eyes of faith, only when you can see that God is still faithful in the midst of it. And that's not just easy. That's not just Pollyanna. That's you know what? You don't really know your faith till your faith has been tried and it's been tested. But you know, it's when I can look at the Lindas of the world who I talked about.
Yes,
the Linda mm-hmm. who has lost family members and going through cancer.
Mm.
And when I walk up to the window of her car, I go to. She said, "But I still trust him.
Yeah,
I still have a reason to thank him." It's mm-hmm. sometimes in watching the faith of others that encourages my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, I tell a story, and I'm talking about my family, and somebody hears it, you know, I watched two aunts die of cancer, and it was almost like the tale of two cities.
Mm.
I had one aunt who had deep faith in the Lord. I had another aunt who was in the church, who grew up in the church, but estranged, and wasn't as strong in her faith, and I watched both of them die of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The one I saw struggle and wrestle, ask why and question. I watched her be angry, be upset. I watched her toss and turn and be mad and everything. Now, in the end, she came around to really asking God to just be with her and give her peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She died in peace, but she had a difficult journey because her faith wasn't where it could be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when your faith is not strong and you go through a trial of life, you can become a bitter. A lot of stuff can happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I watched my other aunt going through cancer. Matter of fact, they were both the same time, but when the one died, the other aunt that was going through it.
Yes.
I went in to see her. She knows that she's been given weeks to live,
mm-hmm.
almost days to live. And I walk in and she greets me with a smile. And I'm the pastor, I'm her nephew. And I walk over to bed, and her name was Ada Bell. Aunt Ada Bell, she grabbed my hand. Before I can pray, Colonel, I want to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still hear her voice today praying.
Yeah.
I can hear her say, Lord, I'm getting ready to come home to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm praying for my nephew who's still in the world, who's pastor. Mm-hmm. She prayed a prayer over my life on her deathbed that
yeah.
God would keep me strong and keep me encouraged to keep on encouraging other people.
Mm.
She was like the Paul writing to Timothy in jail.
Yes.
The time of my departure is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I fought a good fight, and I'm encouraging you in the faith. I can tell you story after story of people who have been going through the trial of their life.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. their faith only got stronger in the midst of it.
Mm.
And it's their stories of faith. It's the witness of people who have been through all kind of tragedies in life.
Yes.
So I tell folks, when you're going through, life is going to hand you, you know, life is not fair. So much that happens that you're going to feel like you've been picked out to be picked on.
Mm-hmm.
But when you belong to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
the God that gave his son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on a cross for our redemption, has already paid the price for our souls and our very lives.
Yes. Amen.
And so when you can rest in the assurance that the center of our faith is a cross, and for us Protestants, it's an empty cross. He's
right.
not on the cross. I understand
right.
Catholic faith. I'm ecumenical, so I don't put down anybody. They have the crucifix. They like you to remember Christ on the cross. But
mm-hmm.
as Protestants, the cross is empty. And more than the empty cross is the empty tomb.
Mm.
And the empty tomb is always the testimony that he lives.
Mm-hmm.
That the grave doesn't have the victory. That death doesn't have the final word. That cancer won't be the last epitome of our life.
Mm-hmm.
That death is a door that leads to life eternal.
Mm. Woo, hallelujah. My granddaddy used to say, if your faith don't work, try faithfulness.
Mm.
And when we come back from these commercials, I want you to encourage us in both. We'll be right back after these
All
messages.
Right. Bless you.
Come and save her. Better believe it. Get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Wes.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are 3
voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Meet America's adults over 65. 70% of them have high blood pressure, and nearly 50% of those don't have it under control. Even with Medicare Part D coverage, about 5 million adults aren't taking their blood pressure medicines as directed. So why does that matter? because high blood pressure is one of the leading causes of heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, and death in the United States. Along with healthy food choices and regular physical activity, blood pressure medicines reduce those risks, but only if prescriptions are filled in the first place. And 1 in 4 adults with Medicare Part D skip doses or stop taking their medicines altogether. Some are reluctant to treat a problem that often doesn't have symptoms. Others get confused over when to take which pills, or worry about cost or unwanted side effects. The thing is, heart disease, stroke, and kidney disease don't care about those factors. But you can take action. Ask questions about how to correctly take your medicine and why you need it. Keep track of your blood pressure between medical appointments with a home monitor. Coordinate pill refills for fewer trips to the pharmacy. And reduce confusion by using weekly pill boxes and tracking apps. It's easy to download free tip sheets and tools to help you or your loved ones take their blood pressure medicines on time and in the right amount. To learn more, visit millionhearts.hhs.gov.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future and fight for ours. For so goes nature, so goes us.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
We are so grateful for this beautiful time we are having and our guest today. It's truly an honor that he would join us and be with us. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us, please?
I'm Reverend Cornell Graham. I'm the pastor of the Christ United Methodist Church in Columbus, Ohio, located on Zephyr Road. And I'm so excited to be with you today, Don.
Oh, we're thrilled. We're absolutely thrilled. I want to hand you the mic, so to speak, and give you a chance to speak to all our friends who are listening, whatever it is the Lord lays on your heart that will help us and uplift us right now.
Well, my go-to text is Psalm 27. I have many of them. But the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yes.
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But the wicked and enemy come upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumble and fall. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall know no fear. Though war should rise against me, yet will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in God's temple. Now, I said all that. I'm not reading from a Bible. I'm just quoting from my spirit. It may not be 100% accurate, but those words I go to. That I want to tell you that in these dark days that we live in, let God be your light. God is our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your light ever focused in Jesus Christ. In the midst of all of the political strife and wrangling and everything else, we are in the world and we are not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know that we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say daily, your kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
Your will be done
mm-hmm.
on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
God's will is being done in heaven, and it will be done on earth if we be obedient so that we do it and we help to usher it in. And we need to know that everything we have here, remember that whatever you're going through, it's temporary. It's temporal.
Mm-hmm.
It's momentary. Paul says it another way. He said these momentary light afflictions, and they may be mammoth. But whatever they are, they're not worth comparing to the glory that is yet to be revealed. God is working through the circumstances of our life to bring us to a more glorious and more marvelous point that is beyond our human comprehension. So I want to just say to you, be encouraged, hold on to God. Don't give up your faith. Know that God is with you. Know that God promised. And God is never, God, the greatest promise keeper ever is Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
God has never, you can't show me a promise that God mm-hmm. has made that God has not kept.
Amen.
So, well, you can rely on the fact
mm-hmm.
that God's word can be trusted. We live in a day of the mistrust of politicians and
mm-hmm.
people who disappoint us. But God can be counted on. God's
mm-hmm.
word can be counted on. Men and women, we fail. We're frail. We still have that human frailty. Pastors fail. We might falter. I tell people, follow me as I follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If I falter, I pray I don't. But
mm-hmm.
keep your eyes ever fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes always fixed upon the cross. He's the author, the finisher of our faith, the perfecter, the one that helps us. So always try to see Jesus in the midst of it. Always try to keep your eyes focused on Christ. So I want to tell folks, yeah, it's been a difficult couple of years. We're going through tough times. God is still providing and making a way.
Mm-hmm.
And even Amen. In the midst of it, God is allowing new doors to be opened.
Amen.
Just this mm-hmm. morning in Bible study, a woman was testifying about losing a job one moment and then 2 hours had another job making more.
Praise God.
Every time a door closes, God is opening a window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God, and I believe this about prayer, and I've said this many, I believe that God answers every prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the answers are God sometimes says yes.
Yeah.
And gives us what we've asked. Sometimes God says no.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're asking for is not what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God just says not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not ready to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So blessings delayed is not blessings denied.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes is that in that meantime, we often living in the meantime of the breakthrough of the outcome of God bringing us through it, learning how to rejoice in the midst of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our greatest testimony comes out of our times of testing. And when folk can see you still claiming, holding on, and even rejoicing in the Lord in the good times, you know, people that rejoice and shout and praise God and talk about how good God is when they got some new material thing, that, it's not that impressive. Oh, I just got a new car, new house, new, I mean, sometimes that material, you've been blessed with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a greater impact on others. When you have just had whatever tragedy or trial in your life, and you can still say, I still got a reason to tell the Lord thank you. You know, I have a daughter that's in prison. I have a child that's in prison.
Mm.
I'm a pastor, and I have a daughter. My oldest daughter's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God every day she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she's wrongfully in prison. I believe she's in prison for crimes she didn't commit, but still yet, I thank God that she is alive. And I'm believing God for the day when she will be out. So I'm a person that, you know, and sometimes as a pastor, I'm one that really, I'm transparent. I don't try to hide. I don't try to hide that, you know, in my family, there's been drug use and abuse. In my family, there's been divorce. In my family, there's a child that's in jail. In my own life, I've had my own faults and failures. But God has kept me in the midst of it all. And so we serve a God of a second chance. Mm-hmm. So I just want to tell somebody, just get back up.
Mm-hmm.
Just get up again. Let God pick you up. God doesn't hold our past against us. When his word tells us that he will cast our sins into a sea of forgetfulness.
Mm-hmm.
He will move
Amen.
Our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west.
Amen.
God, unlike people, won't keep reminding you of the mistakes you made. When God forgives, God forgets.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that blesses somebody, because we
Amen.
Carry around too much baggage and too much guilt.
Amen. You know, somebody needs to meet Jesus. Somebody needs to meet him. Somebody needs to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And this is a wonderful moment. Would you lead us in prayer? Someone who wants to right now hear this God who loves them so much. Introduce them, please.
Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If you, if your heart's been moved, you've never said yes to the Lord, if you've never just invited Christ into your life, if you never, if all you have to simply say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
Come into my heart. Be my Lord. If you say any version of that prayer, just repentance. Repentance is by change. God, I want change today. I want to be free today. I want to be free of drugs. I want to be free of alcohol. I want to be free of pornography. I want to be free of whatever it is that's binding you and holding you back, holding you hostage. Give it to God today. Ask him to come into your heart, and God will come in. Lord, I pray right now for someone who's praying the sinner's prayer, someone who has believed in their heart, confessing with their mouth, and accepting you as Lord and Savior. God, that you are coming into their heart. You are touching and changing their lives. You, by the power of your Holy Spirit, change them and let them feel that and sense that. And God, if they don't feel any change, if they don't feel anything in this moment, I just pray, Lord, that they would just believe that they have been received by you. And God, that they would find a place, a church, that they can get connected. They would find a Bible study, a pastor. They would find a place that they can grow, a group that will support them and love them as you love them. God, I'm praying that you would direct them to a pastor. They might reach out to Don through this podcast or whatever city they're in. They might reach out and say, I need a good church. That we might direct them to a church that they might go to, that they can grow in faith. But today, Lord, today is the first day of the rest of their life. We claim that by faith, and we plead the blood of Jesus
yes.
over their lives right now. Amen and thank God.
Jesus' name, amen, amen. I love technology. I really do. I do, because I see how many things it allows us to do and brings us into community when it's used the right way. And I know that your services are available to people on Facebook. You have Bible study that, you know, there's so many ways that people can connect with you. And I want to make sure that our friends who might not be right where you are can still listen to your sermons or connect with what you are doing. And those folks who are in the area who want to join you and need a good church home. So would you please share with us how folks can be part of your ministry?
Praise God. Thank you for offering. Again, I'm Reverend Cornell Graham. I'm the pastor of Christ United Methodist Church in Columbus, Ohio. So if you look for us, you can find us on Facebook, Christ UMC, United Methodist Church, Columbus, Ohio. And you can find us on Facebook. You can find our website. You can join us on Sunday mornings at 10:45 live. Also, we have a YouTube channel. So you can find the Christ page on YouTube, and you can listen to past sermons. On Wednesdays at 11 o'clock, I teach Bible study. It's at 11 o'clock. It's live on Facebook. If you go to our website, Christ United Methodist Church website, you can also find the link that allows you to join us via Zoom. Some of you that really like, you know, you find me, my name, Cornell Graham. I'm found on Facebook. I pray on Monday morning. So you can find me on Facebook. You can find Christ United Methodist Church. Cornell, that's C-U-R-N-E-L-L, Graham. And I'm on Facebook and Christ United Methodist Church. So through Facebook, you can find us. You can listen to us. And we hope to have you join us. And if you join us for the first time, tell us how you heard us. How did you find me? And just like Don is a person that comes to our church. And when during the pandemic, I was doing outdoor worship. I had the speakers out there, and people could just hear me audibly in the parking lot. I have, when you come to Christ Church and you want to sit in your car, you can tune the 91.9 FM in the parking lot and hear me on your car radio, only in the park within a mile radius of the church. You can get me on the radio. Otherwise, on Facebook, you can come in person if you're in the city. And I hope to have you join us for worship service. And I hope that the word that the Holy Spirit will inspire me to preach will be a word that will reach your heart and touch your heart. So thank you for hearing me today. Thank you for listening to this podcast. And I hope as a result of it that somebody might come to Jesus Christ, somebody might begin to follow Christ Church, or find another good Bible-believing church that you can be taught the Word of God.
Amen. We loved everything you shared with us today, and I'm so honored. I am so blessed and grateful and thankful that you joined us today. Thank you so much.
Well, praise God. That was a blessing and an honor. I mean, the way God just put us together. I mean, you've been coming and listening, and God just, you know, I mean, I think it's Holy Spirit stuff.
Absolutely. Divine connection.
I was ministering. I just felt you in the spirit. Saw you out there. Hadn't met you just face-to-face. Had seen you from a distance. And say, God has this woman out here with a baby carriage walking around the parking lot worshiping with us every Sunday. Let's praise God. Because, you know, God is reaching us beyond these walls of these churches, beyond these denominations, and saying, you know what? We pray that prayer of Jabez about enlarge our territory. God is enlarging our territory.
Sure.
And he's taking our voice and our witness beyond any wall that we can erect. I'll say this final thing to you. I was saying on my Bible study today, when it comes to the body of Christ, one thing I'm certain of about heaven, I am certain that there are no partitions in heaven that have sections that say United Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic. Are non-denominational. All of these man-made denominations and divisions, none of those will exist in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We truly will be sons and daughters of Almighty God, and we will be one with Christ. And I praise God for that.
Oh, so do I. And I thank God for you and for your beyond beautiful life. And your wonderful service to the kingdom of heaven. Thank you to everyone who makes this show possible. It's a labor of love, and yet so many of you donate and sponsor and listen and share and encourage. And we love everyone who helps us to make this show possible. I hope somebody has said this to you today, but in case they haven't, just in case they haven't, oh, God loves all of you and all of us here. We do, too. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I look forward to next time.
You come and save her. Better believe it. Get on your knees and pray all. Then pray all. And never look back. Once the world forgave you.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.